Welcome back to the Chasing Common Ground podcast. My name is Chris Little. I am your host. This podcast is formerly known as The Lifestyle Chase. Started back in October or September of 2018, where I've interviewed over 150 different people, took a short hiatus during the years of 2021 to 2023. Maybe it was 2022, 2023. Essentially because my career got busier. And I kind of just wanted to have more like focused conversations where we just were focused on finding common ground, which is essentially why I rebranded the title. Partially also because people were accidentally calling me Chase. I think that was getting confusing for them with the title The Lifestyle Chase. And I was tired of finding myself in situations where I had to clarify that, but that is not what we're here to talk about. Here, I'm going to actually give you a proper introduction to my guest. Throughout the entire time I've known him, I do not know his last name. I'm being very honest with you, and when it comes down to it, I don't need to. I connected with him during the pandemic. He talks about some of the initiatives that he did, which was essentially to bring some light into the community. What often happened is he got misunderstood, and a lot of people thought that he was a pyramid scheme, scammer, gangster, fraudster, foreigner, endless things, which I ended up having to clarify for people, where they would be like, this account is a scam. If you're familiar with the Yegg Lifestyle account, this guest that I'm talking to is behind the Yegg Lifestyle account, that essentially gave away thousands per week in prizes, in supporting local businesses, in gathering together gift card giveaways, grocery store card giveaways. So there's a lot of things that go on that you don't hear about. We didn't hear about this on Global News. We didn't hear about this in most people's social media posts, but it was really cool. And what's transitioned into is essentially a group of like-minded people that either formally get together or casually get together and work on their goals, whether it be business goals, fitness goals, etc. What the lesson that I want to impart on you is to keep an open mind when you're connecting with people, because oftentimes, like we're talking about people that don't have big followings. He doesn't have a big Instagram presence. Most of his Instagram accounts are set to private. And you might not know who he is based on celebrity status, but he still has a lot to offer. So the specific person that I'm alluding to here, I call him Millionaire Chris because his name is also Chris and we have to have some differentiation. And in this episode, we actually went for a walk, which is what I'm about to do as well. From a fitness lens, if you go on daily walks, you can extend your lifespan, you can reduce the risk of dementia, Alzheimer's, you can improve your heart health, you can improve your mental health, you can build in a time for yourself to kind of decompress. So if you are a listener to this podcast, whether you are part of Park Far Away Club, where we park far away to get the extra steps, whether you are someone who takes on walks, builds it into your life, does a 20-minute walk at the start, 20-minute walk at lunch, 20-minute walk in the evening, or a 60-minute walk once a day, whether you have a walking treadmill, I am currently standing on a walking treadmill by my desk space, whichever one you are, I highly advocate and encourage you to go on walks just like the one that we did. We got in over 10,000 steps during the recording of this episode. Our hands got a bit chilly. We supported a local coffee place called Food in the Nude. They there might be a fancier way to pronounce that. The nude word is N-U-D, no E. They specialize in gluten-free baked goods. And we enjoyed some coffee and soup and a bread bun. So lots to unpack in this episode. Lots to learn about. Lots of insight. Sometimes Millionaire Chris can he doesn't always have a filter, so if he says anything that you're like, whoa, hey now, just connect with him in real life, and I think you'll be able to kind of understand how he also supports the community in a lot of ways that he doesn't talk about, a lot of ways that didn't come up in the podcast, but I can vouch for him. I've seen it. I've been part of it, And I think that you'd be able to look past anything that he says that might offend you in this episode. So with that out of the way, I hope that you enjoy this one. And if you do, tag me on social media. Let me know that you listened. You can reply if you got this on my Substack. Reply to the email. Let me know you listened. Share it. Rate it 5 stars. Let's get into it. Okay, so welcome back to the Chasing Common Ground podcast. And this is a different kind of episode.
Oh, shit, I'm on the wrong podcast. See you guys. All right, what are we doing?
So, totally different format. We're walking and talking. I am here with my friend Chris. I call him Millionaire Chris, so you may have heard me mention him in past episodes. You've had shout-outs.
Cool.
So, I'm going to start off by getting you to explain to our viewers and listeners, who exactly are you?
Oh. I'm a person who almost wiped out on the ice. I'm an Edmontonian just like this guy. We decided to go for a walk today and it is snowing, so my apologies for not being all dressed up. I don't get dressed up for anybody. I guess that's a big part of who I am then, because you're asking who I am. I'm not one of those people that likes to promote that bullshit social media look of wealth. Wealth is truly being comfortable in who you are and having the finances to never have to prove yourself. So I will come out here in a hoodie kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's the question you ask. So who am I? All right. I'm an old man. I've been around for 4 decades. Born and raised here in Edmonton. Very fortunate to have been born here. This is basically the land of opportunity. Anywhere I've been in the world, they know about Edmonton. They don't just know about Canada. They specifically know about Edmonton because we are the small business capital of the world. I don't know if you know that. We're very lucky here. And I guess I'm just someone who saw an opening years ago and decided to take a shot at something a little bigger and better than what my parents had accomplished.
Yeah.
One of 3 boys from a single mom, born in the 80s. I don't know. We could go really, really far into this, but I can start with that and you can develop the conversation further. So, if that's a good preface for all of this, I guess.
No, that sets the tone really well.
Yeah, I did not come from money. I came from a single mom who made about $16,000 a year in the 80s. Single mom with 3 boys.
So, what often happens is I'll kind of describe our meetings. And people will think like you're a gangster or you
really
they'll come up with all kinds of things. So I have this character on my Instagram. I call him Don Creatino.
Love it.
So he promotes creatine to the general population and has become very popular with the jiu-jitsu community.
Oh yeah, you're big there. Yeah,
yeah. And so like the description of him, like, people just think he mysteriously, like, murders people because he's, like, a gangster. It's, like, that might be the impression that you give because it's, like, you're so mysterious. Like, people don't really know your story, which is the important part of this episode. So,
let me cut in there. I know this is where I think a lot of people get confused on that. I don't have anything to hide. I'm just not of the social media generation where everybody presents more than they are, trying to, like the highlight reel, typical social media account. I never really wanted to share what I was doing because I didn't know where I was. I wasn't trying to say that I was doing better than anyone else. I didn't want anybody's attention. I actually didn't like attention. The bigger the projects I did, the more businesses I started. I didn't want to be known for that. I just kind of wanted to be left alone. So people thought I was mysterious, but really it was just, I didn't understand why that needs to be shared. The only thing that happens when you share success, and don't get me wrong, guys like you, most of your true friends, they're happy when you succeed.
Yeah.
People around you get jealous. And I didn't want that negativity clouding my life because I didn't go out, I didn't party, I didn't do that kind of stuff. My 20s were a blur because it was just put your head down, plow through kind of thing. And I found the more, even if someone else asked me how things were, the moment I started talking positive, like, revenues are up, traveling for business.
Then they get butthurt.
Oh, yeah, like I was putting them down by engaging in a conversation where other people were asking me how to, because they genuinely want to know that I'm doing better.
Yeah.
And in return, I would say, no, let's stop talking about me. How's your life going?
Yeah.
And people on the outside of that, for some reason, they just develop this, oh, he thinks he's so high and mighty, like he's doing so much better. It's like those conversations where people don't want to talk about finances because they'll demonize it by saying, oh, all they do is talk about money. No. Our circles talk about investing, building business, the entrepreneur life. Money's the outcome of doing that. It's the result, the byproduct of doing a process successfully. The people that didn't like talking about it wanted to talk about, oh, there's this all-inclusive trip that we can go on and get all messed up in Mexico for 8 days and not remember but come back broke.
Yeah.
Or they're having problems making their payments because they make really bad financial decisions. And because they made bad decisions and they were embarrassed to talk about finances, they'd always say that we were bragging about ours, when really we were just having the discussions about building ourselves.
Yeah.
The money was the byproduct.
Yeah.
Sorry, I know we got off tangent there, but it really is. I only have these discussions, going back to the topic, with a very, very small group of friends.
Yeah.
Who appreciated it because at the same time, we all wanted to build ourselves up. Because after you ask me that, I'm like, Kristen, I'm like, we do it every time you and I sit down for coffee. How's your life going? How are you progressing? How's your training going? How's your podcast going? We talk about that. And the more you tell me it's positive, the happier I am for you.
Yeah.
Because you being successful takes nothing away from me.
Totally.
You being worth more than me doesn't make what I've built worth any less.
We're like separate entities that can collaborate and support each other.
Absolutely. Sorry I'm taking this over, but I like to make sure I explain myself so it doesn't sound as arrogant as usually the initial statement that I make comes across as.
No worries. That's a huge crowd of people up there.
Oh, those are teenagers. I don't like the look on them.
They're gonna
see
beat
what it's
up.
Like being old. They're going to beat us up. And
they're
going to
beat us up.
Oh, they got a puppy. This is awesome.
So my next thing is that, like, I think you highlighted the value of, like, having a community. So, like, the entrepreneur community that you've been connecting with, like, just having people to, like, exchange ideas with and sort of collaborate on different tools is pretty valuable. What first inspired you to do that during the pandemic?
I think that gave people the ability to see things outside of their own bubble, we'll call it. Obviously, when, you know, the lockdowns happened, and we don't really want to think about that again. But a lot of mindsets were just out of necessity going negative.
Yeah.
I lost my job. I've been laid off. My hours are cut. Our business had just opened and, you know, we have to close our doors, all that kind of stuff. And me not being tied to local markets, I just was wondering what we could do to change people's mindsets. It really didn't start out to end up as big as it has become. It was literally how do we change people's minds?
Yeah.
So we had taken our marketing and travel budget and just started doing the giveaways online to just give people a daily reason to get up and smile, something to play along with, so they weren't focused on, oh, let's get mad at the government, let's get mad at local law enforcement, let's go buy toilet paper, I don't want to wear a mask. Those are frustration comments that people make.
Yeah.
They're not bad people. They're just
people
circling
themselves.
They're at their breaking point, and the more social media allows you to connect with other people in the negative mind space, the more you start perpetuating that.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, I'm not a social media person. Let's start this account and spread this thought process that there are people out there that have your back.
Yeah.
And then it kind of extended into, how can you guys do this? You know, everybody else is having a hard time feeding themselves. How can you guys continually do these giveaways, work with all these businesses? And that turned into kind of we did all those Q&As. And as people asked more questions, we thought, well, how do we give back to everyone? And we started throwing, you know, small seminars, building small groups where we could teach people how to budget, how to finance. We had nothing to sell people. We don't have products that the average person can buy. So it was just an unbiased approach to learn how to get further in life, because a lot of people say, school never taught us that. My parents were never wealthy, so no one ever taught me.
Yeah.
The system's rigged against us. Okay, to a certain extent, no, you're not taught in everyday life how to be wealthy. Who's going to teach you that? People making five figures are not going to teach you that. So if you only surrounded yourself with five-figure people, of course you never learned.
Yeah.
School was only there to be a babysitter and to figure out where your aptitudes lie.
Yeah.
After that, you had to do some free thinking. So we became the parents to a city, or anyone who wanted to listen, where we would go and answer the questions.
Yeah.
One-on-one. To add that personal touch to it. Again, long-winded way of getting to the point where we were willing to give our time to those who respected it and wanted to learn.
Yeah.
So I guess before I turn that into 3 hours, is that where you were going with that? Or
no,
you,
that's good. That's good? Solid. Okay. And I have a follow-up question to help people get more clear on like your journey. So I remember one time we had a discussion, you're talking about like one of your first jobs was working at a grocery store.
Yep.
Can you tell us more about that and how you kind of broke into sort of like having more of your own projects?
Oh, geez. So, I was done high school fairly early, not because I'm an intellect, but because back then you didn't have to go to kindergarten.
Yeah.
And because of the month of my birthday, I could actually start school very early. So, I was about 18 months earlier than the average kid in grade one, which meant I was 16 and a half when I graduated high school. Again, not out of intelligence, just luck of the draw. Was too young for post-secondary, so I just started to getting jobs. My first full-time one was stocking shelves at night for a very large grocery chain. I was from the mentality, I was never going to be an entrepreneur. It was one of those mentalities because I grew up with a single mom and she always said, work hard. Work for a business, work your way up, and they'll take care of you. Yeah, I know a lot of you are going to be like, that's not true. Back in the day, that was the way. That was the way, and for the most part, a business respected a hardworking employee, and you could work your way up the system.
Yeah.
And I just knew, like, I knew nothing about being an entrepreneur. I was literally like, if you're going to put in 8 hours, I'll put in 10. Put in 10, I'll put in 14. I'm going to get a promotion before you. I just believed in my ability to work harder.
Yeah.
First mistake, thinking that working harder gets you wealth. No, it gets you more mediocrity.
Yeah.
And this, I know this is going to be a terrible message from the initial statement that I'm saying. I'm not saying don't go to school or don't get a job. What I'm telling you is you have to figure out your target and work backwards. Going to a salaried job, the most you'll ever make is what that scale and that corporation allows you to. If your ambitions are higher, there's no point giving your time trying to go up through that ladder. But at the same time, I always tell people to have the security of a salaried job.
Yeah.
You don't have to put in a bunch of overtime hoping to get promotions, but make sure your living situation and your food are always taken care of. You can do that just above minimum wage if you're not trying to get fancy electronics all the time, car payments, all that kind of stuff. Then work on your side hustle. But anyway, so back to it. Within 9 months, because I was willing to work harder, I was promoted to junior management. Basically, at 18, I was already junior management. They gave me a store in an outlying city to be the assistant manager of. So I was like, see, the system works. You work hard, you get a raise, you get a promotion. See, I'm winning. I'm clearly right. At this point, I'm 18 years old and I'm in management. I worked my ass off. Tripled the income of that store in a matter of 7.5 months, and I learned my real lesson, and that is the harder you work for a corporation, the more the guy above you gets paid for a bonus.
Yeah, no kidding.
I tripled the income, over tripled the income of that store in just over half a year, and I got a $1,200 bonus. The guy above me got $27,000 and sat in the office and just spun on his chair while I worked the floor, worked the surrounding communities to make sales. And so in a total of about 19 months, I ran the whole gambit. I was in a situation where I was a union employee, found out I hated that because it kept the lazy people employed. And then I was in management and found out the corporate structure, until you're the CEO, is making the person above you money.
Yeah.
And while that's fine, because eventually people would make you money the harder they worked, they were all gunning for your job.
Yeah.
It's literally, who can you step on?
Yeah.
Some people will do it out of working hard and waking, going their way up, but 90% of people will backstab you so you look bad, so they can take your position. And I thought, you know what? I don't want my outcomes at all tied to someone else's performance or their conniving, manipulating mindsets.
Just their competitiveness. Like, but they feel that they have to take you down for that.
I don't mind competition. It's the negative side with jealousy, or that people start rumors, or there's some type of negative connotation. I don't mind someone beating me in competition.
Yeah.
But if you're gonna, you know, Tonya Harding it to take out the competition, I don't want to be part of that. I'm okay when the best person wins.
Yeah.
Because that's the whole point of competition. But not when I'm being manipulated by someone. I don't even want to go down this path. I'm not a negative person.
No, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So that opened my eyes to what else could we be doing? And, you know, Mac is the one who produces all of our stuff.
Yeah.
We've been friends since I was working nights at Superstore. And that presented an opportunity for me to get in contact with one of his friends in Japan, who helped me bring parts over for the little shitty race car I was building. I'm not going to go into that whole story of becoming an entrepreneur, but it was by accident.
Yeah.
When I brought that first set of wheels over for myself, and everyone at the racetrack was just blown away that I had something that no one else in North America basically had. Now you can, with the capacity of the internet now, you can have whatever you want in as quick as you're willing to pay for shipping.
Yeah.
Back in the day, it was a several month process. You know, you could go on eBay in North America, buy a set of wheels. The chances are they were just some crap Chinese knockoff wheels. You'd put them on your car, roll around.
Yeah.
If you wanted the true JDM stuff in the 90s, you'd have to have big dollars and wait months for it to show up. That basically turned into a whole bunch of people. When I, you know, because you always act like a big shot. I'm maybe 19 at this point. People are like, wow, you have something like that. Where'd you get it? And I'm Oh, yeah, I got the connections, you know, just popping the collar.
Yeah.
Being a cocky 19-year-old, then all of a sudden, people were willing to put up deposits to get their own parts in Japan because they had no idea the process.
Yeah.
Because that whole process of buying, storing, shipping, paying customs, understanding manifests, waiting on shipping time, hitting in the border, and then the problems that happen when you bring in foreign products back then, that was a nightmare no one wanted to do.
Yeah.
But because I had done it, I could do it more efficiently. Then it just kept growing from there. So I became an entrepreneur, basically just before my 19th birthday. But we won't take that any further, because I don't think there's enough paths in Edmonton to have that discussion.
No kidding, we'd have to like cover the distance of the river.
Oh yeah, yeah. This is, keep in mind, that's not even half my life at that point. That's just what turned me from a salary to realizing, this goes back to the cliches, before we talk about this, when people say work smarter, not harder, no one actually knows what that means until you've lived not working smarter.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing that stands out for me, the reason that I wanted to touch on that part of your journey, is because that's sort of like what other people could realize within themselves. You saw a demand for something and you knew that you had like either the skill set or the willingness to supply it. And that can...
Oh, the story would have been, now that you say that, the story would be completely different if I just said, no, it was too much of a pain in the ass and went back to my full-time work. I've never even thought of it like that.
There would be no podcast.
There'd be no podcast, yeah. And I'd be bitching about mortgage rates.
Yeah, pretty much. So when was the point where you felt the most fulfilled in doing this work for yourself, in like being self-employed or having a business, being a business owner, etc.?
Oh geez, I'm always criticized for this because I never, throughout the last 2+ decades, gave myself credit for anything. And people around me are like, no, you have to get, you know, see how far you've come. And I said, yeah, but I'm not where I want to be.
Yeah.
So I don't know when to be the most fulfilled. I don't think any of it really was fulfilling. It was just a means to an end, which is that ultimate financial security, we'll call it. Now, people use terms like financial security or retirement. That means whatever you want it to mean. When I finally got to the point where that kind of stuff was not an issue, I started looking at the world differently. Like, what could I do with my time that actually made a difference? It has nothing to do with money or what people think is money, and more to do with what am I leaving behind if I'm gone tomorrow? A bank account is the stupidest thing to leave behind.
Yeah.
No one would know who you are. And again, you're gone, so maybe you don't care about stuff like that, but for me, I don't have kids, nothing like that. And I just remember saying to myself, I officially retired yesterday, the day after that had happened. And I said, what does my life mean?
Yeah.
And I did not have an answer. Everybody else could easily say, I want your life, but they don't know what my life is. And that moment that I asked myself, what do you have other than the ability to buy stuff? Yeah, it sounds that stupid. Everybody else is chasing money. But when you have it, what does that do? It lets you buy things.
Yeah.
That is not gratifying. I don't care what social media tells you.
There's no legacy to
legacy is a big word.
Yeah.
But there's nothing to that. The reason people impulse buy is because they don't have anything else to target, and they need something to make them feel good in the moment. Technically, the definition of impulse. And the moment that shiny is gone, they need something new. And that's what puts them most in debt, so they never get to that security point. But for me, it was just this massively... Depressing isn't the right word, because depression's a real problem. But for me, it was just such a kick in the junk to say after that much time, I can't say what I've actually accomplished. And I know we're deviating from what you asked, but I really want people to focus on the fact that, yes, you will need your finances in order. No money isn't everything, but security is.
Yeah.
And then the shift comes when security happens, because you say, what can I do with my life that I actually look in the mirror and say, my life was worth living? I know that sounds like some kind of existential crisis, but it's not. It's actually when people have the choice whether to not accomplish anything and just roll over and die. Like, you've heard so many people retire and then they're gone in 3 years.
Yeah.
Or take on bigger and bigger challenges. Me being who I was when I retired, as other people call it, I tried traveling for 2 months.
Yeah.
I got bored really quick. Traveling's cool when you're waiting for your holiday once or twice a year. When it becomes your life, it's normal.
Yeah.
There's nothing exciting about normal, which is why you wanted to travel in the first place.
Yeah, abnormal.
For abnormal. So I kind of just looked at it and said, everywhere I went, I was like, oh man, I could take advantage of this here. Just that entrepreneur mind. There's a demand here in this country for this, or I could go back home and take this idea back there. And I was like, okay, enough is enough. All that does is build another business, generate more revenue. What can you do on a bigger scale? And that's why when 2020 presented itself, like, there is a few years in between there, but that's why in 2020 I was like, let's take a run at building a community and change the way that they look at how they're living their life. Not how they're spending money or what they think retirement is. What if we could change the minds of a few thousand people?
Yeah.
Again, long-winded, but that's me trying to turn 2 minutes of thought in my head into words that people might understand.
For sure. With fitness, because that's another commonality that we have, you are legitimately passionate about taking care of yourself and getting better physically and mentally. Where did that start for you? What was the turning point for that?
See, I don't like turning. I get that we have to bridge gaps to how people like to understand things, but I never really had turning points. It was one of those things where...
It's just you always did it?
Yeah, yes and no. As a... growing up in an Italian household, I spent most of my time with my grandma because mom was working, and she'd feed you.
Yeah.
So let's just say I got fluffy, we'll call it.
Oh, yeah.
In my single-digit years, And you don't really notice your bigger kid until junior high hits, and there's pretty girls and not fluffy guys.
Yeah. Then it becomes evident.
Then it becomes evident where you are deficient in the world. Some people crawl into, put on bigger clothes and get upset and say the world's mean and people are making fun of me, which they have every right to.
Yep.
Maybe at the time, because we didn't have any money, I didn't have flashy things, maybe it was a bit of an inferiority complex.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll just put in more time. I'll look better than you. I don't care if genetically you can do that just by being a kid.
Yeah.
I'm going to lift weights. And of course, again, a boy in the 80s, you got Lou Ferrigno and Arnold in every movie or a Stallone. And I'm like, these guys look like this. I'm just going to do a few push-ups.
Yeah.
So, you know, by 11, 12 years old, I decided that's kind of the life that I at least wanted that as part of my life. I had no idea about actual bodybuilding. I wasn't doing anything right, but it made me start pursuing the thought. So I'd get magazines, because the internet wasn't a thing. I'd have to wait every month for my subscription that my mom was very kind enough to pay for, even though we were on such a tight budget.
Yeah.
Because I didn't get new bikes and stuff like that. So, you know, that whatever it was, $3.95 for Muscle and Fitness or whatever, I had that coming in. And that's basically where the interest started. And I'm not going to say that I kept that through all the years, because as I got busier, the gym suffered, my eating suffered. I remember in my 20s, I got up to almost 240 pounds. And if you can't tell by the camera, I'm only 5'9". Probably not even 5'9". Age has probably got me closer to 5'8 right now. And that doesn't, 240 pounds does not look good on 5'9". But at the same time, I was like, I can sit here. I remember 08, 09. 08 going into 09. New Year's, I saw a picture of myself a couple days into the new year. A picture taken over New Year's. And I was, literally, I looked like Grimace. And I was like, this is, how did you, you used to competitively fight. You were in combat sports.
Yeah.
Oh, we might have, how good are these mics? Can you hear
them? They're pretty good.
They're pretty good?
Oh, yeah, I'm gonna pause for a moment.
Pause for a moment.
We're just going for coffee. Passes.
They were just showing, I saw it come up on Instagram. It's an ex-Oilers house. Everybody's mad that they built it in the ravine here. It's the only house.
Yeah.
It's like $3 million or something like that.
I didn't see it, but I wouldn't be surprised if that was the house.
It is. Because I always look at things like the garage when I'm interested in houses, and that's how I, yeah, it is. Oh, at least now I know where it is. Cool.
Yeah.
Hey, but again, you may not like it, but money allows you to do things that other people can't.
Yeah.
Oh, well. All right, where were we? Oh, so yeah, I got a little big in my 20s, and then I decided January of 09, when I saw this Grimace-looking motherfucker looking back at me, sorry about the language, I said, no. What is the point of putting in these long hours to have a better future if you're just going to keep getting fatter? And I will say that, fatter. I was not healthier. I slept like crap. Don't tell me that being overweight is just a natural process. Bullshit. Because if it's a natural process and everybody does it and it doesn't hurt your health, how come the moment I lost the weight and got active again properly, my whole life got better, my mind got clearer, revenues went up, everything good, your sexual function goes up for you guys that think that it's not important to work out.
But we're talking about benefits of just
Overall benefit of taking care of yourself. And literally just by the term, what would you say? Taking care of yourself. What's the opposite of that? Not taking care of yourself?
Yeah.
If you're going to tell me one of those is better than the other. But it doesn't matter. That's how I looked at it for me. I don't care how everybody else perceives it for themselves. And I can tell you from experience, everything in my life got better from that, from 09 forward. Because if you remember, we didn't experience it more than just 6 or 8 months. But 08, 09 was the collapse of most of the global economy for about 13 to 17 months. But me being at the peak of what I needed to be made it easier for me to weather. It made me sharper so I could make decisions on investing at that time. Because, hey, you know what happens in the global economy crash? Things are really cheap.
There's lots of opportunity.
Tons of opportunity. And how many times have you guys heard, oh, yeah, I made my money when everybody else was running?
Yeah.
where I bought what everybody else had to sell.
Yeah.
And 3-4 years later, I sold what everybody was buying.
Yeah.
So it's, my story is nothing actually that special. People just think that it's amazing because it's not going to work and coming home and stuff like that. But really, I just put myself in a position to always be somewhere where I could benefit.
I think the mindset was key. Like, that's the biggest opportunity for people, is approaching the right mindset.
I never hung around people with negative mindsets.
Yeah.
So I never went down that road where, oh, this is the government's fault. Oh, this is wealthy people's fault. Oh, this is the billionaire's fault. No. The billionaires became billionaires because they didn't listen to that bullshit when they had opportunities. They weren't born billionaires.
Yeah.
And this is why I hate when people take shots at them. They may not be nice people, but if you don't respect someone who took themselves, even from mediocrity, let's say they were on the upper end, they came from upper middle class.
Yeah.
Creating billions in one lifetime, we talk about it like it's easy because it's all over social media. That is a mindset that I don't even understand. And I know billionaires.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm in Dubai working on our projects there, these people think so far above my level of business intellect that it lights a fire under my ass. I come back here and people want to talk to me about building their $250,000 business or low multi-million dollar business, which is just fine. I'm not putting anything on a scale. I'm just saying people look to me for knowledge, but at the same time, I'm looking at these people and not comprehending how the minds are that expansive at 5 years younger than me.
Yeah.
Why? Because that's not new for them. The tables they sit at, well, yes, they're probably 80 feet long, talk like that all the time.
Yeah.
And they don't stop at the talking. The action comes with it. Do they hit roadblocks? Absolutely. Do they take huge financial hits sometimes for miscalculation? Absolutely. Does it stop them? No.
No.
So, after the last trip, oh man, did I come back with my ass was just the only part of me that was burnt, because that fire had been lit and I said, I'm going to keep pushing. So, technically retired, I'm putting in more time now than I ever have. You got me talking more than I usually do.
Well, that's good, because like, you've mentioned long-windedness, but I'm notorious for being long-winded, and my audience knows that, so this is a nice break for them. They appreciate you.
Got to hear my monotone voice instead of yours.
Yeah, exactly.
And you got my ass out for an hour-long walk.
Well, that was the other thing that I wanted to kind of bring up, was the fact that, like, we talked about body image and physical fitness and stuff. It's like, the barrier to entry is not what people sometimes perceive it to be. You could just walk every day. Walk 20 minutes, 3 times a day. And that's a great starting block that most of North America doesn't hit. So it's like, if you get frustrated, go for a walk and see if you're still frustrated.
You won't even remember what got you out of the house within the first 100 meters.
Yeah.
What was I mad at?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even remember. But damn, this snow is falling really nice right now.
It's so pretty.
It looked terrible from inside the coffee shop. Oh, it's snowing. Do we want to do this? Remember we had the conversation? Do you want to do this?
Yeah.
I'm like, hell yeah, let's go do it, because it's not that cold. It's just below freezing.
Yeah.
But looking out into the snow didn't seem very interesting. Walking in it, breathing this fresher, colder air, I'm just like, I got another hour in me at least.
Yeah, totally. It's good. So who inspires you nowadays? Is it like the young entrepreneurs that you get to meet? Or do you have people that you model yourself after? What's the story for that?
Ooh, inspires. Shut up, friends. And my hesitation to answer is not because I don't get inspired by other people. I want to make sure I'm very calculated in who I mention and why the inspiration was there. I unfortunately lost one of my mentors early in the 2000s. It was basically, I don't think I really appreciated how much this person taught me until later on down the road, because at the time I was very young.
Yeah.
And he was always trying to calm me down and make me think about my moves rather than being proactive instead of reactive.
Yeah.
Because when you're young, you're like, I'll just make a mistake and it's like, I'll correct it. I'll be right back at it and I'll go back. It's like, whoa, if you took two more minutes and just thought it through. You know, the joke that he had told me was, you know, there's a young bull and an older bull at the top of the hill looking down at a field full of cows.
Yeah.
And the young bull's like, Dad, let's run down there and fuck one of them. Sorry if that's it. The older bull looks at him and says, why don't we save our energy, walk down there, and fuck all of them. I didn't get it. I'm sorry if that was crude, but I didn't get it at, you know, 20 years old. That single lesson there, as much as most people are just going to hear how crude it was, is the truth. Rushing into things while you don't want to procrastinate is usually what causes the most problems. The more calculated you are in anything that you do will yield the best results. So I think as far as... inspiration is the wrong word. Definitely a mentor.
Yeah.
You know, it was things like he taught me what to buy as, not necessarily an investment, but why do people from other parts of the world buy gold? You know, what is the value of gold? Yes, it has a dollar value, but what is the actual intrinsic value and the reality behind why something like gold will always have value? You don't learn that at school.
Yeah.
And for some reason, this older gentleman decided to give me the value of passing down this knowledge. Again, someone else who didn't have children, very successful, wasn't born here, but saw me as someone that was worthy of imparting his knowledge. He didn't charge me for it. He charged me showed me how to play in the stock markets, even let me use his account to buy and make trades, and he never held anything against me if, you know, maybe I made a trade that lost a couple hundred dollars, because there was knowledge that was gained from it. And I thought that was, and for me, I just always felt so bad when I lose, because I don't like losing. And he's like, no, you lost on this one, we made on the other nine.
Yeah.
In total, and I think that was another big thing that I learned from him, is you're looking at the sum of your life, not just at a specific win or loss, which is why when people say, what's the turning point?
Yeah.
There is none. Because today might be a really great day, tomorrow might not be. Neither one is more important. We only like the wins. We learn more from the losses. So when you're winning all the time, you start getting cocky. Maybe making some, in this case, trades that shouldn't have happened because you start thinking you can only win. And then you take a big loss because you got cocky.
Yeah.
The entire scenario is what you've learned.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not the loss. It was, why did you get to the point where you'd lose? Because the wins came too easy.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's turn around here and then we'll start heading back.
Yeah, I think we've already put on like 2 kilometers.
Yeah, like we've racked up the distance here.
Well, if you turn the camera, we can, here, let's do a 360. That's downtown that we started over in, 3 kilometers away from downtown, and we're basically 1 kilometer from downtown.
We're doing good.
We're doing good.
Getting our steps in. So you talked about that mentor. How did you connect with them?
Well, in all of this, and this is why I tell people say, oh, so you'd probably, being an entrepreneur most of your life, you'd probably advocate for not getting post-secondary. No, I absolutely did post-secondary.
Yeah.
Did it yield anything monetarily? No.
But lifestyle-wise, we did.
It's just another chance to sit in a classroom or anywhere and pick the people you want to sit in a circle with.
Yeah.
You don't know who's in that classroom. I met people who were international students that came from wealth.
Yeah.
They were just looking for a job here to start a business. They weren't doing it to be an employee somewhere like the most of us thought we would.
Yeah.
They did it to learn a skill that they probably knew back home, and then their parents would fund the business that they could run, because that's how you invest in your future, is get your children to start businesses. And instead of them having to go to the bank, they could go to the bank of mom and dad. And I'm not saying this negatively.
Yeah.
They still went to get the education. So now I'm meeting people who are from different parts of the world whose families are wealthy. Okay, so the education cost me like $30,000. I never really applied it to my life. But through that, as I was doing job interviews, I actually met more business owners and stuff like that. And that in turn, connecting friends through friends, is how I met that mentor who changed almost everything that I thought about at the time. So I don't quantify dollar value as a value in my life, because once you have knowledge and time can yield as much revenue as you want.
Yeah.
Money cannot necessarily buy you knowledge, and it will never buy you time. So anytime these people gave me their time to impart their knowledge, I think me calming my head down to listen and learn, because there's a difference between listening and learning. That's where I value people the most.
Yeah.
And what I was able to do with that is why we're here having this discussion now.
Totally.
And now I, in turn, because they didn't charge me for that. I'm not like an online mentor where it's like, I'm going to scale your business to $10,000 a month, blah, 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 blah. No. I don't need money.
Yeah.
It would be nice to have a generation of people that are more financially savvy, more entrepreneurs, or more employees that just invest their spare money instead of blowing it all the time.
Yeah.
So I don't charge for this. My whole group doesn't charge. Mac right now is over at Central educating his daughter's best friend, who comes from a very financially unstable family.
Yeah.
Spend 20% more than they bring in every month. And he's doing this for free.
Yeah.
She went and got a full-time job, benefits, a company that's matching pension, matching investments. This young girl, probably 18 or 19, is making all the right moves, but if she stays doing what her parents do, she's just going to turn into an over-consumer.
Yeah.
She's come so far in 3 months. Mac's there right now, teaching her how to open up the portfolio that they're building, find out where they put her money.
Nice.
Think about that. If someone, when we were 19, if we were smart enough to invest, sat down and told us what were good and bad investments and how to understand stock charts.
Game changer.
Yeah. I'm talking financial security. Forget freedom. I hate that word.
Yeah.
By 25.
Yeah. That feeling of safety.
Yes. Like, I understand where my money is. I understand what happens in upturns, downturns. What did COVID actually do to my money? Blank that out if you're not allowed to use that word. Why did this go up? Why did this go down? Why is this market on a surge right now? If I knew that at 20, holy shit. But again, you earn the right to go through life. You know, let me change that. People say things like, well, if I only knew then what I know now. You weren't ready then.
Yeah.
You have
That's
to
a
go
common
through.
One.
Yes.
Like, a lot of people reflect on that. Like, if only I could go back in the time machine and just tell young me what old me knows.
Except time travel doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hate that. But you weren't ready. Okay, let's say you went back in time and you bought crypto at 2011, or you bought Briex in the 90s, you know, all these big scams. And okay, so you'd be 19 with $100 million. Because you focus on the money, you'd probably be a drug addict. You'd probably get tied up in the wrong circles. You'd probably lose it all. You'd be around people that only wanted you for your money because you hadn't grown into the money.
Yeah.
Going back in time to make a financial decision is no different than winning the lottery, because you haven't earned the respect for money, which is why 83% of lottery winners are broke inside of 2.5 years. You have to earn wealth. This is why you can't take it away from people who have earned it and equalize for everybody. That bullshit socialist talk, as though the world would be better if wealthy people weren't greedy. No. They earned wealth. The moment you give it to someone who hasn't, it becomes the norm to take charity.
Yeah.
And you, in theory, yes, we should be able to equalize everything. But the problem is, the majority of people are where they are because they make bad decisions. giving the money only enables more bad decisions. See how these tangents keep going off, like, you know, off on tangents? That's the reality of the world. Most people will argue this from a socialist standpoint, but this is why North America and the UK is where it is right now.
Yeah.
We keep propping up those with excuses. Social media allows those with excuses to congregate in very large numbers, and then their belief system, because enough people believe it, becomes the new truth. It's not the new truth. Wealthy people have never been the problem. You can call them greedy all you want. Wealth doesn't come from being greedy. It comes from doing more.
One, something that I think people need to see in this tangent is that you're not limiting people.
Is your income limited at all by what I do?
Not at all.
Okay, thank you.
And so, like, the thing is that you're actually still supporting people by sharing your time with them and having conversations.
But that doesn't help them eat. That doesn't help them make their car payments and their mortgage payments that they should have never had.
It can.
It can, but it doesn't do it immediately.
Yeah.
Go back to instant gratification. You see how things, everybody is exactly where they put themselves.
Well, people want things too fast.
Yes.
They want love too fast. They want wealth too fast. They want results in the gym too fast.
I'm guilty of it. I'm not going to say I'm. I had that mentor that said, let's walk down the hill.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not exempt from what we're talking about. But that now we'll talk that turning point in my life where I said, I will wait for the result.
Yeah.
It makes it worth more. I don't know if you guys can see it. And I didn't do this as an example. I'm not wearing any of my fancy watches. This is my brand. I'm not wearing anything because I don't buy myself stuff for gratification.
Yeah.
If I am going to buy something that I desire, like I don't have a limit to what I could buy. And take that as a statement, not a brag.
Yeah.
I only reward myself when there's a reward to be had. What have I accomplished that I deserve? I've got a watch on order. I'm not going to tell you what it's worth. It rhymes with Patek. That is because I've accomplished something very large in my life.
Yeah.
I could have just gone overseas and bought a used one, cleaned it all up. It's the same value because something like that doesn't actually go down in value. But I didn't earn it. It's tied to the last project I did.
Yeah.
Whereas everybody else is shopping all the time.
They want that look at me effect. It's just.
But they didn't earn it.
Yeah.
Going back to what we said 5 minutes ago, you have to earn. People don't like hearing that. They want to believe that they're where they are because someone else has taken from them.
Yeah.
As though resources are finite.
Like, I can finally have this, but you have it on credit.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have it. The bank owns it.
Look what I did, but you borrowed that.
Yes, the $500 you borrowed for this is costing you $800 after you pay back the interest, but what you bought is worth nothing after you bought it.
Yeah.
One of the clips from some of the interviews we were doing is pretty much exactly that, how people value what they buy.
Yeah.
You sit down with the wrong group of people, you tell them, look, I'm starting a business, I'm getting a $100,000 business loan. They're going to look at you and be like, oh my God, that's such a huge risk.
Yeah.
$100,000, what if it goes wrong? I don't think you should do that. That's huge. But at the same time, you guarantee someone at that table within the last month has just got an $80,000 car loan for something that depreciates quicker than they're making
payments.
And they're like, man, that car is
Congratulations.
Hot. Yeah. Oh, you're going to pick up so many girls with that.
Yeah.
Oh. You see how it's just perspective of who you sit around.
Yeah. Well, I think one thing that stands out to me, sometimes people are like, there's no investment that you can make that has a higher return than blank. But the best investment you can make is in yourself and what you're capable of doing within your life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so if people all kind of leaned into that, I think they'd be better off personally, whether they're investing in their fitness or in their knowledge or in their time, rather than always like chasing somebody else's
ideal thing. Yeah. This person bought that, got a bunch of attention. I'm going to have to go buy one.
Yeah.
Why does validation come from purchases instead of accomplishments?
Yeah.
Like this is where accomplishments. accomplishes. Jesus.
Accomplishments.
Wow.
It's getting chilly.
It's not that. I'm just
brain is freezing.
Yeah. Well, the coffee's almost solid.
Yeah.
Hey, you can see my hands getting purple. That's all right. I'll run my mouth more. I think to start that whole process of people bettering themselves, they have to question what they think they know.
Yeah.
If you only sit at the same tables and you only have the same discussions and you always agree on the same thing because you're too afraid to go against the river, you're not thinking about the world any differently. So when, especially in the online community, everybody's so used to blaming something or saying that they all get together and say, this is holding us back. If you get thousands of people, hundreds of thousands, millions of people agreeing with you, you never expand to the next question, is this true? Or what could I do about it? You just go to liking and sharing everybody else's agreeance that this is the problem.
Yeah.
But if that really is the problem, why are other people in that same demographic succeeding?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to get into the nuances of what everybody's issues are. But if people believe that they can't do better because of a factor that they can just talk about, you've already lost. Can I bench press 500 pounds? No. Does that stop me from doing a bench press? No. I mean, I don't like the bench press. That was the first thing that came
good
to
example.
Mind.
Good example. It's a good example.
Yeah. Does that stop me from going to the gym just because I may never look like Arnold Schwarzenegger that we talked about an hour ago?
Yeah.
Okay, we have different genetic potentials. But we just see his outcome. We don't know. He's notorious for saying, this is where I was deficient.
Yeah.
You're seeing the winning package, but you don't know that I only had to work chest every 2 weeks, but I had to work calves 3 times a week.
Yeah.
You see the whole package and say, I can never look at that. You don't. No one wants to analyze their life and say, I don't have to look like Arnold. I can look like the best version of me. And once you do, and we're going from just the physicality part, yes, it's superficial, but what I'm getting at is the best version of you is awesome. It does not matter where it ranks on against someone else.
Yeah.
And I wish people would just understand that. You don't need a like or an acknowledgement or gratification from others. You just have to start the day saying I can and go to bed saying I did. That's it. Not where am I against someone else.
Well, and you'll speed up your own progress if you're focused on being better than if you're focused on comparing yourself to somebody else.
Absolutely.
Because, like, you limit your own ability when you look for somebody to compare.
Media.
Yeah.
Because media doesn't talk about. Many positive things. People like to see negative things so they can say, oh, their life is worse than mine. I'm not so bad.
Yeah.
But if there was constantly positive things, like focusing on the people that build in the community, the people that go feed at the shelters, the people that build housing for low-income families, you'd start looking at it and a lot of people have that mentality like, oh, they're just doing that for the publicity. Why was your first reaction when someone's building a house so another family can live in it to look for some possible, and you're so sure there has to be negative connotation to what they're doing? You've been conditioned to do that. And I'm not talking conspiracy wise. It's just easier to go down the path of least resistance. And every little, we talk about being 0.1% better every day. But if you're constantly listening to crap media, crap friends, bullshit in society, that 0.1% every day, a little bit less, a little bit less, a little bit less, your intelligence and your ability to comprehend the simplest things just always goes to a negative turn.
Yeah.
Why? We're out here. It's noon. It's noon on a Friday.
The sun's peeking through. It's a nice day.
Absolutely. But what's everybody else doing? I guarantee 80% of people are at a job they don't like.
Yeah, or they're staring at their phone by themselves, getting mad.
Yeah. And no one no one watches what we're talking about right now. The fact is, we can carve out on a Friday and do something that we enjoy while
that's
getting healthier,
yeah,
expanding our brain, and even though at the beginning of this, you know, I had to deviate away from that little bit of negative talk.
Yeah.
But that was how my mind got, I didn't want to be negative.
Yeah.
Since then, all it is, yeah, my hands are cold, but we still got to talk about this shit.
Yeah.
Let's spread a message. Let's make sure people are smiling when they get to this point in the video.
Absolutely.
If they thought, expanded their mind, and said, I can do something, this 2 hours, we could literally change, even if we just put 200 more smiles out there in 2 hours, this was worth my time.
Absolutely.
If you said, Chris, I'll give you $10,000 an hour to come work for me, I'd be offended. Because that means that you just decided, well, you thought you were offering me a lot, that you now own my time for money.
Yeah.
You can have it for free if we're going to change people's mindsets, but don't ever try and buy my time. You know?
Well, and it's something that a lot of people won't really be able to kind of like understand, because they'll be like, what do you mean? Like, that's a lot of money. I would take that. But they're not understanding their potential, like who they could become if they really bet on themselves.
1,000%. None of that 100%. When you stop thinking about finances as how much I can make in an hour, and don't even think about how much you generate, just think about doing a process properly, starting a business, going through all the hardships. All investments are front-loaded.
Yeah.
Either time or money. If you need a paycheck this Friday, which is why I tell people to always have that part-time job or that full-time job that covers their life, when you no longer have to worry about where your mortgage payment comes from or putting food on the table, your mind goes from tunnel vision of making that hourly wage to, I can do whatever I want today.
Yeah.
Not ignorantly. Like, yes, you could go on holidays, but you could sit down and just have a cup of coffee. An opportunity comes to you when you have time for it.
It's true.
It's hard to look for when you're in the hustle and bustle. Like, I get it when people come to me and say, I just can't get ahead. Of course you can't. You're spending an hour in traffic to get to work, probably doing a job you don't like. People at the office are gossiping about you or mad because your team didn't win yesterday, or someone slept with somebody else, or some gossip.
Someone
took your parking spot just to get back in your car when you're now really mad and drive another hour back home. Then you got to make dinner. Then you're pissed off with your kids or your partner, or someone calls you. And I get it. That doesn't mean you can't change it. If every day you don't like it and do nothing about it, that's nobody else's problem. It's not your boss's fault you don't make what you want to make. You're not using your potential. Your boss is using a little bit of your potential. And if you were pissed off all day, not a lot of it, let's be honest.
Yeah.
The only person that will ever be correct about what you can't do is you. That's everything you need to know in that one statement. If you believe that a project is beyond you, beyond your intelligence, beyond your physical capability, beyond your earning potential, you are absolutely right.
Well, and it's something that comes up with fitness people that I work with, and with like other trainers that I work with. Like, usually, like, well, I couldn't possibly succeed. It's because like they're counting themselves out.
Yeah, you didn't even. Why? Because it's something new for you? Do you think all these people that the world hates because they become billionaires stopped the first time it got difficult?
Yeah.
Okay, it was just laid out for them. I just, no, you really gotta, and I know it sounds easy, just believe in yourself. I never used shit like that.
It definitely sounds very fluffy if you hear it for the first time.
It really does, but for me, it's always been, if it was easy, this is the only cliche that is true. If it was easy, everyone would do it.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that separates everyone, is what they're willing to do when it's not easy.
Definitely, definitely. So I think we will wrap up this episode.
All right.
And we'll probably make a point. Well, I mean, we made a point, and I'll be able to summarize this. I'll do some intro, outro afterwards as well.
But so you don't want me to flash the camera?
No, don't flash the camera.
Yeah, that's probably not a good thing.
Not ideal.
Okay.
Not often.
And it's cold.
I forgot to mention something in the intro, so I'm going to add it to the outro. Also, this hoodie is got to be the least flattering thing that I own. I bought it at SportCheck 10 years ago, but I'm rolling with it. So just if you are listening to this, go subscribe to my YouTube so you can see this hoodie that I'm wearing. I will also wear it for the podcast. And understand that you can wear whatever you want as long as you own it, like both literally and just like metaphorically, in the sense that you wear it and you're just proud to just wear whatever the heck you want to wear, then you're good. If you start worrying about what you're wearing, then it's a problem. Anyways, it's nice, warm. It'll keep me warm from a walk this evening. And what I wanted to mention is actually this episode is kind of like a crossover, because I was actually previously on the All I Ever Wanted podcast, which is a podcast that Millionaire Chris hosts. Obviously, he doesn't call himself Millionaire Chris, but I've introduced him as such. And so you're going to see his face in that podcast as well. And what I like about that podcast is it gets even broader than anything that I've ever done with the Lifestyle Chase / Chasing Common Ground. There's a lot of fitness content. There's a lot of business content. There's controversial content. There's all kinds of stuff in there. Lots of conversations. If you're someone who likes to kind of like diversify what you listen to, or just dive down different rabbit holes, you can check that out. You can check out my episode where I was on the show. It's something that I've shared with my Substack subscribers. It's something that I promoted quite a bit, so you may have already tuned into it. But if you haven't, find it by searching All I Ever Wanted podcast on your favorite platform. You'll be able to find it on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. And with that said, thank you for tuning into this one. Thanks for making it to the end, and we'll catch you on the next one.